today's episode, we're going to talk about rhythmic dosing for estradiol and progesterone, specifically my rhythmic dosing. I'm Dr. Valerie Davidson from Progress Your Health.
And I'm Dr. Robert Mackey from Progress Your Health. So we were having a sort of a conversation recently, and we were actually talking about migraines, and our last episode is about migraines. We've sort of, or you, with your newsletter, you sort of created this new in-betweener term, and we were talking about migraines, in-betweeners, and rhythmic dosing. So we thought as a way to kind of catapult off that we would go through what you're actually doing, because I don't think people really understand the dosing differences from the different types of hormones.
Exactly. So an in-betweener, just to kind of recap a little bit, is somebody that's just coming out of perimenopause, going into menopause. And that was me when I started my rhythmic dosing. And then on the back end of that is we've gotten a lot of people writing into us from all over the world asking about rhythmic dosing, and they want to know, we understand it sort of, but we don't know it specifically. What can I talk to my doctor about? What does it really mean? And so we thought we would go into, like, let's break down rhythmic dosing and exactly what it is.
Yeah. Now, granted, this is a, we've been doing it now for what, since about 2008.
The rhythmic dosing clients.
Give or take. So probably since 2008. So what is that? 15, that's going on, what, 20, about 17 years? About 17 years we've been doing rhythmic dosing.
No way. Has it not been that long? Does time fly that fast?
I can remember when we first learned how to do it. Susie Wiley had it at the observatory there in Glendale. Mm-hmm. Wonderful seminar, wonderful presentation. To really understand the philosophy of how hormones are supposed to cycle all the time. But I didn't realize 2008 doesn't seem that long ago, but 17 years is a long time ago. So there's some awareness about it, this term. We've used it on the podcast many times. We've talked about it many times, but we never broke it down. And we've talked to a few patients and other people, and people are reaching out to
us.
It's
so cute. I can see your hands in my camera.
I know.
I noticed my nose was in your camera, so I moved.
I'm sorry. I just cleared my throat in the microphone. Hopefully that wasn't too loud.
We're still getting used to all these cameras and getting them set up. But yeah, I noticed in one of the, when you were talking, I think right now my hand's in your one, and then I think my nose was like sticking in there.
Yeah. I'll have to adjust it, because it's not, usually I try to make it so it's not like that, you know, with the camera angles.
Yeah, but we're getting used to it.
So this is, I think this is a little bit, maybe not long overdue, but at the same time, there's both on the patient side and the practitioner side, there's just not a lot of awareness about what rhythmic dosing actually is. It's not taught in school. It's not taught in traditional training. It's a very specific protocol that's used that achieves something, really restoring a woman's hormones to, you know, basically physiologic levels of, let's say, that of a 30 or a 35-year-old, where she's still having a regular cycle every single month. And that's where the different types of HRT, it really comes down to the dosing of each of those. Where if you go from the patch to a bias to, you know, rhythmic dosing, there's like three different tiers there. And I think they all can achieve something different for depending on the woman.
Well, with rhythmic dosing, just to kind of also do another recap, is basically recreating the ovarian cycle. So in a 28-day perfect cycle, you know, you're having your period at the beginning of your cycle, which, yes, I have a uterus. I'm 52 and I get a period, but we'll get into that part. But day one to day three, four, you're having your period, your estrogen and progesterone are very low, but then that estrogen is starting to climb and increase, and then it will spike on day 12. And that's where, if you're a menstruating female, you'll have an ovulation on day 14. And on day 14 is when you start to produce progesterone. And then that progesterone starts to climb and it peaks out on day 21. Then if there's no fertilization, of course, there is a regression of the hormones diving down until day 28 when you get your period. That is essentially exactly what rhythmic dosing does, is it's recreating that ovarian cycle. And when you do that, you also connect to the hypothalamus and pituitary. So they call that the hypothalamus pituitary ovarian axis. So you're working on it from that realm, as opposed to like static dosing, which is still amazing. Women do great with static dosing, but they're taking the same exact dose every single day without change. So that's completely different than the rhythmic dosing. And we've talked a lot about the rhythmic dosing. And so now we've gotten a lot of questions coming in about what exactly is it? Like, right. What is it, you know, what is it, are you applying creams? Are you doing troches? Like, how are you actually doing it? So we're going to break that part down. But what Dr. Mackey was kind of referring to as the in-betweeners is rhythmic dosing. I've found the women that do well on it love it. And one of the best times to do rhythmic dosing is when someone is just transitioning right. into menopause. So when they're, maybe they haven't missed a period for a full 12 months, but they're not really in perimenopause, but they're not completely in menopause. That's actually a really nice time to start that, or even shortly thereafter going into menopause.
So that in-betweener phase, so let's say somewhere between the late 40s to the early 50s, so 46, 47 to 50, 52, something like that. Would the in-betweener phase last that entire time, or is that the range that women would typically, you know, experience that in-betweener phase in? How long would the in-betweener phase last?
You know, I think for some women, it can last years. For some right. women, it can last months. So it really depends on the female, but it's where, you know, in typical perimenopause, your progesterone has dropped, and that's easy to replace, and most women really love their progesterone, but they're in typical perimenopause, you're getting the ups and downs of estradiol, so you're trying to buffer that, where in that kind of in-betweener, you're noticing the ups and downs of estradiol are a little bit different. They're mm-hmm. either a little bit spread out more, where you have really these big troughs of estradiol, and then all of a sudden a huge bolus of it coming from the ovaries, or you might notice, you know, smaller changes between it. So it really kind of is a phase in life, just like puberty. You know, puberty isn't all of a sudden you're a little girl and then you're not. You know, it's mm-hmm. a change in those hormones, just like with perimenopause, just like with going into menopause. So I feel like that in-betweener phase is sort of neglected. They're either treated like a perimenopausal female or they're treated like a postmenopausal female. And so, or, you know, and then they're kind of like this gray area where they kind of fall through the cracks. So that was for me when I, you know, because I've been doing hormones, like you said, mm-hmm. over 17 years. I think I started in 2004, is I was definitely menstruating in my early 30s. Yeah. So for me having that just even that knowledge with the hormones. So for me going through perimenopause, and then I did do some static dosing originally, and I had been on a little bit of static dosing, but I was kind of like your typical in-betweener where I would add that biased in with that static dosing. And I'd always had progesterone since my 30s, but I was adding in that estradiol with the estriol, a biased, and I would start to bleed. You know, I'd get two periods in a month, maybe go 45 days, put on that cream and instantly spot. And that's what you'll see a little bit in those in-betweeners is they need the estrogen, but something about adding it in continuously really kind of throws it off.
Yeah, right.
But now that's not everybody. You know, some people do very well. So it's really where there's so many different HRTs is really being able to tailor it. So for me, I've been doing the rhythmic dosing and I kind of change my doses around and I'll end up probably changing it around just because I like to be my own guinea pig so I can sort of experiment and learn more and research more and talk to other people. But I do feel like that in-betweener phase, the rhythmic dosing can be pretty amazing.
Yeah, because your woman's body is used to having all those hormones. The woman's body wants those hormones around. So that's why it's like the perfect time. And in some ways, you could almost sort of recreate their own cycle by using the rhythmic dosing. Now, granted, like in your case, there's a certain point in that in-betweener transition that you're doing rhythmic dosing is not appropriate, mm-hmm. right? You're putting estrogen on top of estrogen. Even other forms of HRT, depending on the dosage, isn't appropriate because their body is still making too much. And then you create more problems that way. They get more bleeding. They get, you know, more frequent bleeding, heavier bleeding. You know, their body still wants the estrogen, but they might not be able to tolerate, where if they're far enough along in that in-betweener transition, which, like you said, could last months to years, more than likely years, the rhythmic dosing is a way to kind of smooth that. So they literally go almost backwards. They go from in-betweener to prior to back to menstruating. They don't even really go into menopause necessarily, at least sort of.
Yeah, because you're right. If you have a uterus and you're doing rhythmic dosing, mm-hmm. it is intended that you are going to have a period. And if you don't, then you have to readjust those hormones to make sure that you do, because that's part of that safety there. So that's where, yes, at 52, I'm having a period. I will say when I went into menopause, I think I'd missed a few months, and it was kind of nice. But then not knowing if it was ever going to show up, and where would it show up, when would it show up, was kind of, you know, kind of nerve wracking, because nobody wants to be on vacation, you know, without something, and then go, I got my period, or on a plane or something.
Right.
But it was kind of nice not to have a period. But that's the cool thing with rhythmic dosing, is you're not supposed to have a horrendous period, right? It's supposed to be an easy peasy period, maybe 3 days long, maybe a little spotting on day four, and then you're done.
Yeah. Now, when a woman's having her own period, 30, 35, you know, even 25, and she's having terrible, terrible menstrual, you know, cycle, lots of PMS, there's, besides going on birth control pills, which we don't usually do those types of things really ever, never have, there's not a lot you can, I mean, there's a lot of things you can do, but a woman's production of those hormones, it's difficult to manipulate that. Now, you can fix the dysfunction of that, you know, with, you know, a lot of things that are in the naturopathic, you know, functional medicine tool belt that's outside of just using birth control pills. But when you're doing it through rhythmic dosing, you can manipulate all of those variables. So it's not going to go, which I think a lot of fear is, oh, I'm in my 50s, I'm going to get my period back. It's going to be horrible like it used to be. That's why even women that have had fibroids, endometriosis, things like that, they're still candidates for it, because we're doing it differently than the way the body typically does it, you know, endogenously. We're using an exogenous hormone. And I think, honestly, that's the biggest objection. Women are like, nope, I don't want a period again. So then they're deciding between static dosing versus rhythmic dosing. That, in my experience, that seems to be the deal breaker. Okay? The women that are okay with having having a period, like, yeah, no problem, you know, whatever. And then they're the ones that actually, you know, they just, you know, sort of take off and do really well right from the get-go.
Yeah, and like you said, that I try to explain that to patients too, that I promise you, you're not going to get those horrible periods. I mean, I've had issues with, you know, endometrial hyperplasia and endometriosis when I was quite young. And you're right, when somebody comes to see me in that, you know, in that realm, they're, you know, they're not in perimenopause, they're menstruating, but they're having terrible periods and endometriosis, we are looking at it from a different factor. We are looking at it with more of the naturopathic principles to work on those hormones and try to get that balanced, where, you know, the transition going into menopause is natural and normal.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, we know with HRT, we can have so much longevity for females, for their brain, their heart, their bones,
I mean,
their skin, their hair, I mean, their libido, their sleep, everything. So that's where we're looking at it differently than somebody that had that past history of maybe some really painful periods or, you know, heavy periods. And that's what I tell them, is we don't want to recreate that. We want to recreate a cycle of that estrogen and progesterone that's naturally, you know, rising and falling as it does in nature.
And no symptoms, no PMS symptoms, means that there's balance between the relationship between the estrogen, progesterone, the receptors, and all the physiology stuff that we don't really need to talk about right now. We're going to actually talk about this.
Doses.
This is where the sort of the rubber meets the road, where you can understand dosage wise the difference between what's done for on a static dosing level, because you and I have talked about that. We just did a couple episodes ago. We talked about your hormones, right?
My blood work.
Your blood work numbers. So in January, just as a little recap, we'll figure out how to put the videos up in the corner so people can, you know, go back to it. But it was just a few episodes ago where we went through your numbers from January. Your estrogen was like 100 and something, 150, and you just redid it, and your estrogen was 407.
Yeah.
Right. You cannot do that through the patch or static dosing, and you should not do that through those things, because that's where it's potentially dangerous. Where, because we're doing it in a very controlled fashion, and we can predict when that period is going to show up, is the part that actually makes it safe to do. The lining builds up, and then it sloughs off, and it builds up, and it sloughs off, and it builds up, and it sloughs off, and it takes a certain amount of dosing to be able to achieve that. I mean, it's pretty remarkable that we can actually do that for a woman, you know, by using exogenous hormones. It's sort of incredible.
But it takes a little bit of work, because it's not like you apply it in the morning and then you know, the same dose every day, which is pretty easy to remember. I have to remember what my cycle is. Now, we're going to go over actual doses that I'm doing. Now, with the rhythmic dosing, there is a protocol,
yeah.
but you can adjust that protocol and tailor it for the patient. So this protocol is adjusted for me. So this is my protocol we'll go over. And then we probably need to say, what is it? This is just for educational purposes.
We're not giving any medical advice. This is just for education. Please talk to your providers. Your providers might not be aware of rhythmic dosing, but it's a good opportunity to have that discussion because we have found with our patients that this for the right patient, this is the best option for them. It's not the best option for every patient necessarily, but for the one that it fits, that when it works, it works really, really well. From both how they feel right now, from a menopausal symptom perspective, and I think it really. Where the magic is how it sets them up in the future. Like you said, the bones, the brains, the heart, you know, all those things. I mean, if you think about it, as human beings, the lower our hormones get, sort of the faster we decline, right? The more those hormones are where they're supposed to be, the more vibrant and healthy we are. So literally this is not only is it a hormone protocol, but it's very much an anti-aging protocol sort of at the same time, especially for women, because menopause, as you said many times, is like their number one risk factor for age-related disease. Those hormones go away and your risk factor for everything goes up. And honestly, with our patients, they want to maintain how they look and feel for as long as they possibly can. And I think a lot of them are doing an amazing job at that. So this is a way to, you know, to really kind of double down. So should we just start out with the estradiol numbers and kind of, dive into it?
Sure. So when you think about a cycle, like I was talking about the perfect 28-day cycle, not everybody has a perfect 28-day cycle. Now they're saying 25 to 28 is more the common cycle. Some people have 30-day cycles. Everybody's different. For me, doing the rhythmic dosing, I get to about day 27, sometimes 26. Mm-hmm. So that's where, the way you do this is when you have a period, so you're having that blood, you're bleeding. Now, if you don't have a uterus, that's different. You can start, start day one anytime. But if you have a uterus, day one is when you're having that active bleed. Not a little bit of spotting, but actually a period with the red blood. So on day one to day five, and I have a calendar that I mark all this stuff in, and I even put little notes in there too, like if I didn't sleep good or if I had a little headache or this, just to kind of or if I was a little irritable, I kind of keep track of that to see if there's, a pattern. but I like to do that. Not every female likes to do that. They're like, this is too much work. Why do I have to do that? And that's okay. Then that means maybe this isn't the right protocol for them.
Right.
But for me, day one to day five, and usually my period is about 3 days, and by day four, there's nothing left.
So it's relatively pretty short then.
Really short, really light. It actually, and I've talked with, sorry, I'll get to the doses. I know, but I get off on tangents. But I've talked to a lot of women that we do the rhythmic dosing with their, if they have a uterus, they're mm-hmm. having a period. We do talk about how it's not like it flows all day long like when we used to have our periods. It's like almost like you wake up in the morning and then you have some bleeding because, you've been laying horizontal, so it's been accumulating. And then you might notice a little bit more through the day when you go to the bathroom. But it's not like it's like this continuous flow. It's different than my periods ever used to be. But that's me.
Yeah. But it's different in a good way because it's not nearly as heavy or anything like that.
Nothing like that. I mean, I still carry around extra extra plus tampons, but I just because of my
history, right?
But I don't. I never.
You got a little bit of menstrual PTSD, almost.
I think so. And trust me, I'm not the only one. But now I only need like the little regulars or the little small ones. But I'm Gen X, so I still use tampons. I know there's other things, but day one to day five, I do 4 milligrams. So day one to day five, I do 4 milligrams of estradiol. So I'm not using estriol in this protocol. Just estradiol, and I do that in the morning. So I put on 4 milligrams of an estradiol cream in the morning and 4 milligrams of estradiol cream in the evening. Mm-hmm. And I always apply my hormone cream to my inner thigh just because that's a nice fatty place for it to absorb and for it to just kind of stay in your system. And then it's not going to get on like our animals or get on anybody else. So like if I'm wearing shorts, I usually when I apply it, I actually will just put on my pants because sometimes if the shorts are too short, because it's, it's not a lot of cream, but I just don't want it to get on anything.
Sure. More so for the, I mean, that little bit, that amount of estrogen wouldn't be a big deal for me, but for the pets, it would be, you know, probably something that they don't need.
Yeah, but not for pets or kids. But you think about 4 milligrams twice a day, and that's only day 1 to day 5.
Right.
That's a total of 8 milligrams of estradiol.
Yeah, on day one. Day one through five. Mm-hmm.
Day one to day five. But that's what's supposed to happen is we're supposed to raise up these levels of estradiol to physiological levels, not for static dosing where it's really just kind of working on
symptoms. Raising the baseline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would never want to do 8 milligrams of estradiol continuously. You have to have the ups and the downs. So,
but we have some that do doses like that.
Yeah, you know, you're right.
4 in the morning, 4 at night, you know, whatever.
As a biased. I usually do that more as a biased. I never do static dosing really, very rarely as estradiol.
So they're going, mm-hmm. so a little another tangent. Mm-hmm. So if they're doing an 80-20, they're getting 80% of that as estriol, 20% of estradiol. So it, because we don't want there to be any bleeding on static dosing.
No.
So that's why we sort of favor one versus the other. We've had a lot of acid doctor questions, and people are doing 50-50, and you know, and those types of doses, especially early on, especially for the in-betweener, that's where they start running into those bleeding problems because their estradiol amount goes up. Now, in those contexts, we don't want there to be bleeding. In this context, we actually want there to be bleeding.
So this is creating an endometrial lining that's going to get thick, and then I'm going to have a period. So day 1 to day 5 is 4 milligrams in the morning, estradiol cream, 4 milligrams in the evening, estradiol cream. And then on day 6, 7, and 8, I'll do 6 milligrams of estradiol in the morning and 6 milligrams in the evening. So you can see as that estradiol is starting to rise. And then when we have day 9 and 10, I do 7 milligrams of an estradiol transdermal topical cream in the morning and 7 milligrams at night. So mm-hmm. always BID or AM, PM. So now we've got 9 and 10, that's slowly, you know, we're slowly increasing up that estradiol for me. And then on day 11, I'll take 8 milligrams of estradiol twice a day. And then when I'll go up to day 12. So day 12 is like we're in, you know, in a perfect ovarian cycle. Day 12 is when that estradiol is really rising, trying to promote an ovulation, trying mm-hmm. to get that egg to leave the ovary.
So you get this significant surge.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. You have the surge. So we're slowly climbing, but then it jumps up to 12 milligrams. So on day 12, I do 12 milligrams of estradiol in the morning and 12 milligrams of estradiol at night. I know that's 24 milligrams of estradiol.
Yeah. That literally blows some people's minds, both mm-hmm. patients and practitioners. It sort of blows their mind, like 24 milligrams. I mean, that's comparatively to static dosing and other types of HRT, that's a whopping dose of estradiol. I mean, you should not do that. Now, that's an amount you would not do on a static dosing level because you're guaranteed to have some irregular bleeding.
And some problems.
As they say, don't try this at home sort of a thing. You need to work with someone if you're considering this for yourself, which is why we're just trying to educate. But if you're considering this for yourself, you need to work with someone that absolutely knows what they're doing.
Yes.
Okay. Unfortunately, there's not as many practitioners out there that do know how to do this, but they're around, and they certainly, you know, there are some out there that do it.
And it's growing.
Now, granted, we've been doing this, like I said, since 2008, and it's amazing and how it really hasn't really taken off all that much. Like it's still sort of an underground protocol that people use. So 24 milligrams, that's the crescendo. That's what the whole protocol is sort of designed around, is to peak out that day 12.
So that's on day 12. And then on day 13, it drops down because that's how it is in nature with an ovarian cycle. So on day 13, I do 6 milligrams of estradiol in the morning, 6 milligrams of estradiol transdermal cream at night. So doing that twice, 6 milligrams, we went from 12 on 12, day 12, 12 milligrams, down to day 13, 6 milligrams. Then on day 14, it goes to 4 milligrams in the morning, in the evening. This is when I start my progesterone, but we'll circle back to there so it's not confusing. But day 14, 4 milligrams of estradiol in the morning, 4 milligrams of estradiol at night. Now on day 15, 16, and 17, so day 15 to day 17, that comes down to 3 milligrams of estradiol twice a day. So that's going down to 3 milligrams. And then on day 18, until I get my period, which for me is right around day 26 to day 27, is 4 milligrams twice a day. Now, I could manipulate my hormones a little bit to extend that period to probably day 28 if I wanted to, but it kind of depends on, you know, my blood work and how I feel. Is this a good level for me? So that's something we can talk about a little later too. Because really with the hormones, since we're controlling it, my ovaries are not making any hormones anymore.
Right.
Is we have the control over the hormones so that if I wanted to, if somebody had a shorter cycle, I could manipulate the hormones to make it longer. If it was too long or not bleeding at all, we can manipulate the hormones to get them a bleed or get have a period on the right timing.
Yeah. So when a woman starts rhythmic dosing, really the first milestone is for them to have their first period. So you want that to happen relatively quickly. And that might, now I know that, you know, we adjust it. So there's like a E standard or an E initial or estradiol initial or an estradiol standard. But depending on someone's history, we might start them a little lower than that.
Oh, yeah. So what I'm doing here is my dosing. Now, somebody else might have less than that. Instead of four milligrams day 1 to 5, they could do 2 milligrams. You know, I have them on 2 milligrams day, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So you can change that. You still keep the same sort of ratio-ish of the estradiol
still the
coming
rise,
up
still the
coming
rise
down,
and the fall, yeah.
But you can, everybody's different. Just even with body size, if someone's really petite, you might do a little bit, you know, they would need less hormones.
But as a woman starting on it, though, you would never want to start them relatively higher than the E standard or the E initial because
of the talking a little bit about the protocol. I'm talking a little bit more about the dosing.
But it's sort of that determines how the dosing that you're going to be using. Those milligrams are going to be translated into what dosing, so if it's standard or an E minus one or an E minus two or an E plus one or an E plus two, that's where the customization comes in over time.
So maybe explain that because I'm just going over the dosing. What do you mean by standard, minus one, minus two?
Well, so your dosing there is, you know, the protocol itself, when it was originally determined, you have this starting point that most women are going to start at. Now, like you said, you can start a little bit, you know, let's say a woman is actually later in her 50s or even early 60s, starting them at the initial amount where they get up to 24 milligrams or close. That might be a lot for a woman that's in her later 50s or early 60s. So you'd want to start her a little earlier. So she'd be at, let's say, in like a, this is complicated, but like an E minus two. So you're not giving her the full amount of hormone right out of the gate. Right. Or like in your case, you know, you have a history of endometriosis. That woman's got a little bit of a troubled menstrual history. Start her on a lower dosing. And then gradually over time, months, now that dosing can be worked up. The first key, though, if you do start them lower or even at the E initial or the E standard, is the first thing is to achieve that period. Okay? So that needs to happen relatively quickly, or then the dosing needs to increase if they still have a uterus.
So for me, I did actually start off a little bit lower. So I started off more at 2 milligrams of estradiol, and now I've worked my way up, you know, by one milligram and then plus another milligram. Mm-hmm. So I did start off lower, but I also, like I said, I was on that static dosing. For me, I was having a little bit more irregular bleeding, which I know is not good, and I needed to readjust that, but I knew I needed more hormones. But my uterus didn't need more hormones doing static, but my whole body needed the hormones. So that's why I switched to the rhythmic. And also, like I said, I do, I've been doing the hormones
like
so long.
I like to
tinker because I want to see what I can also do with, you know, so I can improve the patient experience
now,
as well.
You're in a different situation because you're the provider, right? You know, so, you know, where someone else, we don't encourage them to tinker.
No, don't tinker. Talk to your practitioner.
Don't tinker because if, you know, anything like this, any type of hormones, you're tinkering too much. You're potentially creating some problems that way. Once you have an understanding and you're working with a trained professional that knows how to do this, then tinkering can happen, but through the guidance of that person. Because otherwise, it's not necessarily dangerous in the short term, but you're just going to start bleeding too much, you know, and that, you know, that's what can't happen over time.
Yeah.
If you tinker too much, you're just going to create more problems if you don't know how to do that. Even on the practitioner side, if they don't know how to manipulate it, then you're sort of stuck with these problems that you don't really know how to fix. That's the beauty of the customization is that you can raise the estrogen, lower the progesterone, raise the progesterone, lower the estrogen. So really from a optimization perspective or an individual person, you can tailor it directly to them as opposed to this cookie cutter process where everyone gets the same dose.
Oh, absolutely. All my patients on the rhythmic dosing, I do kind of readjust certain days based on them. Like maybe on day 12, we might go a little higher, or on day 13. So they don't have such a dive. That's why mine's a little, you know, you have this sort of, you know, you learn this, like we learned, you know, we learned these protocols, but we've sort of evolved and developed them ourselves. Like, I don't like having that huge dive after day 12. I get a headache on day 13 if I do that. So that's why I actually have a little bit of a softer land after day 12. So my estradiol doesn't dive too much. So that, you know, you can tailor that to anybody. And for me, you know, the original sort of rhythmic dosing was using progesterone cream on day 14. For myself, I actually use progesterone capsules. So I've been on the capsules forever. That I like the capsules. A lot of women like progesterone capsules. I know a lot of your patients are on the creams. I do have patients on the progesterone cream as well. But for me, I do the progesterone capsules. Should we talk about the dosing on that, or do you want to differentiate?
Yeah.
A little bit?
Now, again, static dosing, bleeding is not an option, right? So practitioners are always going to recommend progesterone capsules in that sense, which we do too. Static dosing, use progesterone capsules. In this one, if you're starting on rhythmic dosing, you're going to use a cream it's not going to inhibit the growth of the lining because we want that growth to happen on purpose. So they are completely different. That right there makes them completely different philosophies. You cannot compare them because they, you know, fundamentally the approach behind them, one encourages the bleeding, the rhythmic dosing. Static dosing, bleeding is not an option. So the progesterone cream is sort of started with, at least that's what I do most of the time, and as a starting point, and we can always adjust and change it later, you know, but we're encouraging that bleeding to happen where that is sort of like a contradiction on the static dosing side.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, the original protocol was with the progesterone cream. I did the capsules because of my history of heavy periods and thickened endometrial lining and endometriosis, and I had been on progesterone for a long time. It was really helpful for me in the past that I stayed on the progesterone capsules. Now, technically today I'm on day 13, so I'll start progesterone tomorrow, which is day 14. I'm considering maybe not this cycle, maybe next month I might go do the progesterone cream. So I'll let y'all know how that works for me and if my periods get heavier because I did the cream versus the oral. But the difference between the oral progesterone capsules is you only take them at night. If you're doing the cream protocol, you would do it twice a day. So I'm considering starting that tomorrow. But for my progesterone, I start on day 14. So let's say I'm going to do my capsules tomorrow, which I'm actually probably going to do that, maybe do cream
later.
Because I've been feeling good. I've actually been doing good, so I don't want to rock the boat yet. But on day 14 and 15, so that'll be tomorrow and the day after tomorrow, I'll do 100 milligrams of a sustained release oral progesterone capsule, and I take that in the evening time. Anytime before bed or even an hour before bed. It doesn't really make me super tired. Like a lot of women that take the oral progesterone capsules, they like get really sleepy right away, and some don't. I don't really, so I'll usually take it about an hour before I go to bed. And then on day 16 and 17, I'm going to raise that up to 150 milligrams of a sustained release oral progesterone capsule. And then we go to 18, 19, that goes up to 200 for me. So I take 200 milligrams in the morning, or sorry, 200 milligrams of progesterone sustained release at night only. So no progesterone for me in the morning. And then on day 20, we raise that up to 250 milligrams. On day 21, now that is the highest peak of progesterone in an ovarian cycle. Is day 21. So that's my highest my progesterone is. So when someone talks about cycling their progesterone, they're taking a static dose of estradiol, but they're cycling their progesterone. That means they're only taking it 14 days and they're not really cycling it because it's the same dose for that 14 days.
Right.
When you're truly doing a rhythmic dosing and recreating that ovarian cycle, you are changing the progesterone over that 14 days to mimic what the ovaries would produce or that corpus luteum on the ovary. So on day 21, the highest is 300 milligrams of progesterone at night, and then we go down. Then I go down on day 22 and 23. We go back down to 250. On day 24, I go to 200, and then day 25 and 26, it's 150, and then I usually get my period like the morning of the 27th or maybe the 26th. Mm-hmm. But if I, you know, if somebody did get a period more closer to the 28th, they would, you know, I would lower that down to 100 if I had a couple extra days. But actually, I've been really pretty spot on day 26 or 27. And I like it. And like I said, I don't know if I'm ready to rock the boat.
Yeah. I think the average that I've seen over the years is that women usually are somewhere between 25 and 28, 24 to 28, maybe. And that's, you know, perfectly normal. It's
and
not,
then you
it's,
start back over on day one.
Yeah. So the minute, that's the key. The minute the period starts, if it's on day 24, 25 or 26, then that becomes your new day one. Mm-hmm. And the protocol starts over again. So now just as a, so you said, what was your high dose on what you're
300
doing
milligrams.
Right 300. So with the cream, on day 21 for the P initial, right? The starting point, if a woman is doing this for the first time, her progesterone using the cream would be, again, she's applying it twice a day, would be 240 twice a day.
Yeah, right? So that's 480.
480 for basically that one day. So just like on day 12, now granted, we're Gen Xers, right? So we're going to hook up an iPad to that to the screen here so we can press a button, and then now the menstrual thing shows up on the screen. I haven't figured that out yet, so I'm learning.
Always learning something.
Yeah, right. That's, you know, our age is sort of coming through there. So we can sort of, as we're talking about these numbers, it'd be really nice to be able to show that cycle. But you, there's plenty of pictures. Just type in the menstrual cycle on into Google, and a picture will pop right up. And you can see right there, ovulation is day 14. Right before that is day 12, that peak of estrogen. You're doing 24 milligrams on day 12.
Of estradiol.
Of straight estradiol. That's a whopper. Okay. And then you're doing, would you say 300 milligrams of progesterone on
day 21.
On day 21. So,
oral.
So progesterone is progestation. So if there is a woman who's going to get pregnant, right? So that progesterone level goes up, then it would stay elevated and keep rising for 9 more months, mm-hmm. right? But now there's no conception, right? A woman in rhythmic dosing could not get pregnant right now.
No,
right?
No.
You could not get pregnant right now. So that, so it automatically is going to, you know, taper off. The drop in progesterone is what stimulates the release of the period. You know, so then it just happens every single month. It's sort of magic. I mean, it really is.
Yeah. And if you, I know we went over my blood work on a different podcast, and my estrogen was a little high. So I was thinking of maybe backing that down, but my FSH, which is the follicle stimulating hormone, mm-hmm. that signal from the brain is looking like my brain thinks my ovaries are making hormones,
yeah.
which is, that's what you want. When someone's in a static dose, you really can't go, you know, too high on those static doses, is you still see a pretty high FSH.
Yeah.
And that's because the brain thinks, hey, ovaries are not making any hormones.
Yeah. The more estrogen you have in your blood, the lower that FSH is going to be. But you don't want to chase that number as your metric.
No.
You don't want to try to raise your estradiol, like we've talked about. Now, the other made another distinction. So static dosing, progesterone every night, right?
Yes.
All the time. You don't take any breaks. Now, there's some, like you said, that are using it half the month. That's not true rhythmic dosing or true cycling. If we cycle progesterone, what I've done many times, I know you have too, you take a certain amount for the days 1 through 12 or whatever, and then you double it for the second half. That's, you know, that way you're getting progesterone all the time. That'd be more for probably like a perimenopausal woman as opposed to a menopausal woman.
The perimenopausal women, at least in my experience, really, I mean, myself included, when I was in perimenopausal, love the progesterone.
Yeah.
So if you take their progesterone away for 14 days, they're not as, you know, feel as great for those 14 days.
Yeah,
so
they can't sleep as well. They're mm-hmm. more irritable. You know, that progesterone all month, even though that may not be actually natural, quote unquote, because a woman doesn't make progesterone for the first 13 days, it still helps them feel better as they're transitioning to that, you know, hormonal change. So I guess what I was getting at is rhythmic dosing, no progesterone for the first 13 days at all. Static dosing, you're taking progesterone all month long, at least in most cases anyways, at least the way that we do it. So that's, you know, again, another very distinct difference between the two philosophies. Now, they both can work, right, depending on the woman and what she wants to accomplish and what her symptom profile is. They're both viable options. Percentage-wise, 98%, 99% of women are doing some version of static dosing. A very, very, very small percentage of women are doing rhythmic dosing. I mean, it's, you know, not even close. We've talked to quite a few people in our community, and you know, because we've talked about it on the podcast, and they've heard us talk about it, and they're obviously curious, and their practitioners don't know anything about it. You know, so that's why we're doing this, and hopefully this is educational and you're learning something. Remember, this is not medical advice. This is just for educational purposes to understand the distinction of what those hormones are actually, the levels are at over the course of the month. And they're sort of profound. If you're taking a bias that's, you know, 1, 2, 3 milligrams, there's only so much a woman can accomplish from that kind of a dosage, but you're taking up to 24 milligrams. You know, I've always said, a woman, estrogen is what makes a woman a woman. The more of it she has, the better she feels. And I think that that dosing sort of, mimics that very much so.
Nope. So that's the rhythmic dosing, my rhythmic dosing of estradiol and progesterone in a nutshell.
Yeah. So now in the next one, we're going to break down, the testosterone dosing and how, if a couple, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, if they're going to do something like this, women sort of start the process first and you sort of overlay the man's cycle on top of the woman's cycle. So their hormones are sort of in sync. This is where I still sort of tell women that they sort of rule the world and they sort of chuckle a little bit because a man's hormones follows a woman's hormones. I'm sure you've had that situation where a woman's not on any hormones yet, but her husband's doing testosterone. And energetically, it just doesn't really match because he's already on hormones and she isn't. That's why we'd rather start, the females first and the male second. So that'll be on the next episode. So pay attention for that one. Any last things to say about your dosing?
No. I think I hope that this was, like you said, educational and answered a lot of the questions because we've gotten so many people asking, like, what specifically is your rhythmic dosing? What is it? So there it is.
Yeah, we'll let the cat out of the bag on that. So if you have any questions or comments, if you're on YouTube, just write them in the comment section below. If you want to ask something anonymously or in private, you can go to our website, Ask the Doctor, on our progressorhealth.com. Click the Ask the Doctor tab. You can ask your questions there. Until next time, I'm Dr. Mackey.
And I'm Dr. Davidson.
Take care. Bye-bye.